From historic Seminary Ridge in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, this is The Seminary Explores. Conversations about people, politics, theology, and life with your host, Dr. Gerald Christensen.
Everything you wanted to know about apocalyptic, but were afraid to ask in 20 minutes. Hello, I'm Jerry Christensen, and this is The Seminary Explores with the Reverend Dr. Richard Carlson of Gettysburg Seminary here on Seminary Ridge in Gettysburg, who has done a great deal of study on apocalyptic as a professor of New Testament studies and a number of administrative offices at Gettysburg Seminary, which we'll have to take up on another occasion.
That is true.
But for now, in less than 20 minutes, because I've got a couple of questions to ask you besides this one, what is apocalyptic? If there's so much misunderstanding about it, give us the skinny.
You're absolutely right about the misunderstanding. For example, if you would go to Google, type in apocalyptic, and then hit their images button, you get all these images of the end of the earth, of destruction, of massive wars. Apocalyptic theology really begins at a time when wisdom theology within Judaism has failed to help God's people understand who they are and who God is. In 200 years before Jesus' birth, wisdom theology was quite prevalent within Judaism. And wisdom theology basically said, through wisdom, God has structured everything. Mm-hmm. Through wisdom, God shows us how we live, and the wise person figures that out, and their life will work. Mm-hmm. Good things will happen to them because God is guiding us through God's wisdom.
Okay. The books here, are we're talking about, Rick, are
Proverbs,
Song of Solomon?
Song of Solomon could. Wisdom of Solomon is another prominent one. The book called Ben Sirach.
Okay. Both canonical and non-canonical books.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, around the year 170 BCE, so 170 years before Jesus was born, Judea, the province of Judea, was ruled by a king whose name was Antiochus Epiphanes IV, and his headquarters was up in Syria. And Antiochus Epiphanes IV wanted a Greek buffer state between his kingdom and the Egyptians. And the only problem was, it was not a Greek buffer state, it was a Jewish buffer state. And so Antiochus Epiphanes IV was the first ruler that tried to eradicate Judaism. Yeah. He tried to erase it from the face of the earth. He banned having Torah, having sacred scriptures. He banned circumcision. He banned following the Mosaic law. He banned gathering for Sabbath. Some of the Jewish aristocracy in Jerusalem went along with him because that's where their bread was buttered. Mm-hmm. And the worst thing he did of all is that he desecrated the temple by having the temple in Jerusalem converted to a temple for Zeus, and he had a pig sacrificed on the altar. Yeah. Well, suddenly God's people, if they want to follow God's laws, if they want to follow God's ways, they're going to be punished. Some are even going to be killed. So a whole new theology develops from that. A theology that says outward reality, where a person like Antiochus Epiphanes IV is in charge, that's not real reality. That is the manifestation of this present evil age. So now suddenly, the present age isn't guided by God's wisdom. The present age is ruled by evil, demonic powers, and they're human instruments. And God will have a future age. And in that future age, God will be vindicated, God's people will be rewarded, evil will be destroyed. And so people living in the present age, God's people living in the present age, need to have real reality or God's real ways revealed because they're hidden. And so the very word apocalyptic comes from the Greek word apocalypse, which means revelation.
Mm-hmm.
And so in apocalyptic theology, God's hidden ways are being revealed by the people, the seers, God chooses.
Oh, yes.
So in the century and a half before Jesus, apocalyptic Judaism, especially in Galilee and Judea, really had gotten a foothold. The entire community of, out at Qumran, from which the Dead Sea Scrolls came, they had an apocalyptic theology. Even within Judaism, mainstream Judaism, a number of Pharisees would have an apocalyptic theology. That's the arena, the theological arena in which Jesus grew up. So when Jesus is talking about God's reign breaking in, that's that new age that is coming. And Jesus also would be preaching about the future, you know, at a time of Advent. We're talking heavily about Jesus' second coming. Well, that's going to be when the new age is fully inaugurated and the old evil age will be destroyed. So the early Christians, after Jesus' resurrection, after Jesus' ascension, they're thinking in terms of an apocalyptic understanding of Jesus is coming back. And so in apocalyptic theology, one of the keys is for God's people to remain faithful. To remain faithful, especially because evil is in charge. And so early Christianity really got its basic understandings, its theology, in an apocalyptic atmosphere. In fact, a half a century ago, a very good New Testament scholar named Ernst Käsemann called apocalyptic the mother of Christian theology.
Yeah.
And so the early messianists were really thinking about present, past, future from that apocalyptic angle.
I have to go back and remember one story, which may be apocryphal, not the same as apocalyptic, but apocryphal, about Antiochus, that I think it reveals very much about the, that awful atmosphere in which the Jewish people had to live for a while. And that is the Jewish males, who are accustomed, wealthy ones, accustomed to going to the gymnasium, could no longer go because it would, since they did all that in the nude, it would reveal their Jewishness.
Yes.
I mean, you know, you think of little things like that, they sound humorous, but it's a oppressed culture, which then has to shift its thinking to a new age. What are to move beyond the 200 years in which this developed, we've now established that Jesus inherited all this.
Mm-hmm.
And as it were, he Christianizes it, if I may use it, an anachronistic term. What are the real sources for apocalyptic in the New Testament? And you're probably going to say everywhere, so maybe you can, can refine my question a bit.
I think the three most prevalent apocalyptic theological thinkers in the New Testament. Paul the Apostle. Paul is what I would call an apocalyptic theologian. That is, he is understanding that in the death and resurrection of Jesus, the new age has broken into the old age. But the old age still exists. That's the, if you will, the Christian flip on a Jewish apocalyptic theology. In Jewish apocalyptic, we're in the old age, the new age is out there, but it's going to come. Paul and other early Christians saw that in the death and life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, the new age, the future, has already begun. And so with Paul's theology, we have what is called the overlap of the ages. So that for Paul, Christians are living at the time of the old age, but the new age has begun. So you have a line like Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, where he describes Jesus as the one who gave himself on behalf of our sins in order to rescue us from the present evil age. And so he's defining, for the Galatians, defining Jesus and his death in terms of liberation. We're being liberated from the present evil age. Now, for Paul, the present evil age is ruled especially by the powers of sin and death.
Yeah.
So in Paul, sin is really mostly big S.
Yeah, right.
It's an apocalyptic lord. You really see that in Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 12.
Right.
Sin and death invade through Adam's disobedience.
Yeah.
So they create the realm of the old age. To be human is to be born into the realm of the old age. So for Paul, human beings are not neutral. We already are in bondage to sin and death, and we cannot free ourselves. Through the proclamation of the gospel for Paul, the Holy Spirit creates faith that brings us into Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So the New Age is Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So in a number of Paul's letters, you have this little phrase. It's called in Christ.
Yes.
Now, sometimes that can refer to God working in the person of Jesus, but more times than not, it refers to being in the reality or the dominion that is now ruled by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Christians, especially in baptism, we undergo a transformation. We're transformed from the old age ruled by sin and death to the new age ruled by Christ. Now that doesn't mean sin and death go away,
right.
But for Paul, sin is no longer our Lord, so that we would be obedient to it. Rather, Jesus Christ is our Lord, so we would be faithful and obedient to Christ. That's why, for example, in Romans chapter 1, and then again in Romans chapter 16, very end of the letter, he says that his whole mission is to create the obedience of faith. Because we're now in the new age of Christ, we're no longer part of the old age, so we have a whole new obedience. And the Holy Spirit empowers that obedience. But at the same time, we are looking for Jesus coming. Paul's, the Greek word for that is the parousia, the coming of Christ. And that's where the new age will be all that there is. So sin and death will be destroyed. So for Paul, the last enemy is death. That'll mean that there'll be the resurrection. That'll mean the complete transformation of all creation. That'll mean that we will be glorified with Christ, that Christ will then hand over everything to God. And as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:28, God will be the all in all. All that will be will be God. So for Paul, he has a theology which can, I think, best be described as no longer. We're no longer under the power of sin and death. We're no longer enemies of God. We're already justified. We're in a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We've already received the Holy Spirit as a down payment. But, and this is where his apocalyptic thinking is very keen, Not yet. We have not yet been raised. We have not yet been freed from this body of death to inherit it or be given an immortal body. Creation is not yet free. So there's that sense of anticipation for that new age, you know, ardently anticipating it. The way that he describes it, for example, in Romans 8, 18 and following, we eagerly anticipate the new age. It's not because the present age is so bad, it's the new age is so good. And so with my students, when we're studying that part of Romans, I'll tell them it's like an 8-year-old at 2 a.m. on December 25th that you just, you can't wait. another apocalyptic thinker, whoever wrote the Gospel of Mark, very, very much that same understanding.
But more emphasis on signs. Not so many signs are there in Paul.
No.
Forgive me for interrupting, but
no, because for
Mark and Matthew are more interested in.
You've got some signs.
But please, go ahead.
Yeah. So for Mark, you have again that dualism, so that from the get go, the exorcisms.
Oh, yes.
The miracles, especially over the powers of chaos, the sea. Substantial part of Jesus' mission and ministry.
Yep.
And what's very interesting, especially in Mark, is the demons know who Jesus is.
Right.
And they know why he's come.
Yes.
And they don't want any part of Jesus.
Yes. Yeah. Even though the other people around might not know it, the demons do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so again, when you get to Mark 13, where you get the signs, preceding the coming of the Son.
Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting is you have the same thing in Paul that you have in Mark. You don't know when the timing is coming, but you're ever watchful.
Yeah.
Both of them use the imagery that Jesus will come like a thief in the night. So that shows us that saying is very early on in Christianity. We got to be vigilant.
Mm-hmm.
We got to persevere in the present evil age because Jesus is coming again, but no one can predict it.
I'd like to continue on with the other synoptics and even with John and the other literature as well. But before we finish today, Rick, I do need to ask you how apocalyptic helps us to understand evil in our own age, since as you defined it, it was an antidote or an explanation of a response to a world that was now perceived mm-hmm. as evil.
It can first of all, it reminds us that evil and sin and death are very real entities, that we are not getting better and better every day in every way. Evil can be systemic. It can be individualistic, but it needs to be taken seriously.
Yeah.
Now, whether we call evil Satan or sin,
death itself,
but it is very prevalent.
Yeah, they're powers, I guess, is the way
absolutely
Luther would have described. They were powers, whatever that means. They're just not figments of our imagination.
No,
they're not. They need to be taken seriously. I think that's the main thing.
And that helps us. The apocalyptic theology then calls on us to be vigilant and to persevere. To be vigilant and persevere, especially in the face of evil.
Mm-hmm.
Persevere in the face of death itself. In apocalyptic theology, it reminds us that human powers can be co-opted by evil.
Mm-hmm.
And human powers, the ultimate power that sin and evil and their human minions have is death itself. And that's where that New Testament message is so, so powerful, that death is not something we fear because the resurrection. Because God has raised Jesus. God's already shown us, here's the future, and God's in charge of it. So that we can confront evil. We can deal with evil in obedience to God. So I think that's a really relevant message for us. And also then, it also reminds us that the culture we live in, does not define who we are or whose we are or how we live. In fact, sometimes we have to resist the allures and the entrapments of our culture. So I think that's what apocalyptic especially can say to us today.
It has a lot more hope than, say, just Stoicism, which says persevere no matter what, because there is resurrection. There is the already, but not yet in there. The Stoic would probably just say already. That's the way things are, and you
accept
it. That's different. You persevere because there's hope.
And that's where hope becomes absolutely crucial. And remember a line from the movie Shawshank Redemption. Morgan Freeman's character said, hope is a dangerous thing.
Mm.
And in the New Testament, it is. Because hope helps us see beyond what's right in front of us, to see realities that otherwise remain hidden.
Everything you wanted to know about apocalyptic in 20 minutes, and we did very well. I'm sure there's a whole course involved in here sometime. not to mention several writings, but a concise view of apocalyptic from our friend and colleague, Dr. Richard Carlson, professor of biblical studies with a specialty in New Testament on apocalyptic. For the Seminary Explorers, I'm Jerry Christensen. Have a very good day.
You've been listening to The Seminary Explorers from historic Seminary Ridge in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, a production of the Lutheran Theological Seminary at Gettysburg. We invite you to visit our website at www.ltsg.edu. All opinions expressed on this program are those of the individual speakers and are not necessarily those of Gettysburg Seminary or the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.